Item number two is a text amendment to zoning bylaw number 200 of 2006, the St. Norbert Neighborhood Main Street Planning Development under file DAZ 207 of 2010. The applicant is Jackie East along with Valdine Buckley.
On behalf of the Director of Planning Property Development.
The applicant is the city, so we have no...
So the applicant is the City of Winnipeg.
We have the clerk.
And we have Jackie East and Valdine Buckley. Jackie, Valdine, maybe you can give us an overview of this item.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jackie and I are going to do a joint presentation. So I'm going to start off with the introduction to the project. The reason why we're here today is to consider an amendment to the Winnipeg zoning bylaw to create a planned development overlay for St. Norbert's neighborhood Main Street. This project commenced with a directive from the Standing Policy Committee on Property Development in March 2008 to initiate a preliminary review with respect to a secondary plan for the St. Norbert area. The public administration responded to that request from the Standing Policy Committee by doing a background study to put together the facts and background information on the area. And that background study revealed that a secondary plan was not warranted due to the lack of land use conflicts and development pressures in the area. But it did recommend that a planned development overlay could address some of the outstanding issues. The background study was completed in 2009 and presented to your committee earlier this year. The background study talked about having the plan development overlay address four issues: zoning incongruencies, allowing for the redevelopment of vacant sites to accommodate multiple family residential or mixed use, supporting cultural heritage through signage, and encouraging pedestrian-oriented urban form, a mix of land use, quality urban design, and streetscaping. As a precursor to this public hearing today, public notice has been provided. The PDO has been advertised in two newspapers for 14 days in advance of the hearing, satisfying the statutory requirement under the charter. As well, we sent out a letter to all the property owners in the area, notifying them of the hearing and giving them a bit more information about the content of the plan development overlay. In terms of our approach to the project, the intent was to engage the local community to determine their vision for the area and create a zoning framework that would translate the community's vision to a set of development standards. That's the real objective of a planned development overlay. And this will help to address concerns related to land use and urban form and what development is going to look like on the street. The project explored various options for approaching this project, and some of them were related to planning approaches and some related to zoning, and the conclusion of the research conducted was that we should do a plan development overlay. This slide talks a little bit more about what a plan development overlay is. As you know, the zoning bylaw provides a one-size-fits-all approach to development. The same rules apply to the whole city, so that when you have unique areas like St. Norbert and other neighborhood main streets in the city, you want to try to do something that's a little bit more customized to what's needed for that specific area. So a plan development overlay speaks to what development will look like on the street, and it modifies the bundle of development standards that applies to each property. There's two reasons why a PDO is important. First of all, there's an opportunity to reduce negotiation on individual applications and make the community expectations open and transparent. The developer then knows ahead of time what the rules are in advance, and this can help to reduce community conflict so that development doesn't come forward as a fait accompli. They have an expectation. They know the expectations up front going into the project. And secondly, that you can achieve a higher quality of design and development on the street over time and move towards more of a village concept and a pedestrian-oriented environment in the area. In terms of technical issues, the plan development overlay is adopted as a part of the zoning bylaw, so it forms a schedule in the back of the zoning bylaw. It has limited scope and capacity in terms of what it can do. It's not a plan for the area. It's strictly a zoning approach. And the text amendment and all of the regulations in the plan development overlay are not retroactive, so it does not affect existing development, and it does not affect the underlying zoning of the property. So if the underlying zoning is C2 or C3 or multiple family or residential, it doesn't affect the designation of the property. The PDO will apply to all new development, and so the city will review each application that comes in this area against the standards that are in the plan development overlay and see if they conform with the community's expectations. And existing development then is grandfathered and maintains a non-conforming right. I want to tell you a little bit about the process in terms of getting to the PDO product. The steps were that we did some background research and information collection in January, and at that time we hired Dillon Consulting to help us with the project. They convened a community visioning and public open house to confirm issues and direction, and also divide the study area into characterization areas and precincts, which Jackie's going to tell you a little bit more about. Then Jackie consulted with our interdepartmental technical advisory committee for advice on in terms of city input into the project. Then we had another workshop and open house to review the draft and the standards that were developed in the PDO. That was in March. And then we moved right into drafting the final regulations and the bylaw, as well as the urban design guidelines. And we're here today at the public hearing. After the public hearing is closed, as you know, there's no further public representations, and then this bylaw would move on to P&D committee, EPC, and council for final bylaw approval. And I'm now going to turn this part of the presentation over to Jackie to tell you about the details of the PDO.
Thank you. I'll go quickly for you. First of all, just a little bit more about what we, those conversations we did have in the community. Really, the visioning that was back in February. That's where we worked through Group Action St. Norbert for the most part, and also invited members of the business community that would be impacted along Pembina Highway, and we got them giving us an idea of the different areas that exist along the main. Because that whole area along Pembina in St. Norbert is very different. So we identified those areas and then started really getting people involved in talking about those elements of urban design. So getting people in the community directly involved talking about parking and site locations, building locations, and all those things that planners like to talk about. We got the community really talking about that and giving us their input into what's important, like what's an issue out in St. Norbert. So this is just an example. The landscaping issues, how people get around, that sense of place, and the commercial character. So those are just an example of the kinds of things we talked about and heard about. We followed that up with a more intensive workshop at the St. Norbert Hotel in March, and got a mail drop to everyone in the community. So we got quite a lot of people out for that one. And that's where we presented options, sort of like, here's the way it is now, here's how to scale it up a bit more, and got people to really use scorecards and actually give us real input to what their recommendation was for where we should dial in terms of what the main street should look like. The other piece of input that we got is we actually did an online survey and invited the business people to give us input to understand where the commercial market actually is out there, because sometimes there's a misunderstanding of where people are actually coming to use the businesses there. And of course, in St. Norbert, a big portion of that market is being drawn in from rural Manitoba. So that was important for us to understand. It's not just serving local community. There's a lot of travel. The traffic is necessary to keep the businesses going there. So we had to come to terms with that. So just to the next one, is just to tell you where these areas in St. Norbert, what they look like. First of all, the boundaries of the study area. On the north, it's the Perimeter Highway, and on the south, it's the LaSalle. It's the rail tracks on the west and the Red River on the east. So if you can imagine that little piece of those that land in there, that's the, that was our study area. And when we got the community sort of telling us what they thought about it, it kind of broke into three general areas. The first one, when you'll hear us when we you see the bylaw calling it Area 1, is really on the west side of Pembina Highway. It's the area where the businesses are, where the real, the village, where the business is happening for the most part. West side of Pembina Highway and the south part of that area. And we call, we ended up referring to that as the village center area. There's an area 1A just north of there, which is sort of in transition. There's some vacant lands, some underdeveloped lands, some development proposals in that area 1A. And you can see that Pembina Highway kind of veers a little bit east, takes a bit of a bend there, and you'll see some differences when you get to the bylaw about how that gets treated a little bit differently than the village center, than the core village center area. The second area is really where the farmers market and the community center and the heritage buildings, we call it the community cultural area, it's really around that area. And then that little piece of land that is very narrow up against the Red River, there is mostly houses there right now, and vacant land, and it's zoned. Parks, we kind of call that community cultural too, because you can't really do, there's not no opportunity really to do much more there because of bank stability and issues of the river and environmental sensitivities, etc. The third area is really that area that has been developing in pretty intensive residential with the condos and apartments in the north part closer to the perimeter, and also where the new condos have gone up along the Red River on the east side. So we, that's the residential area, and there was much interest in changing too much of that. So if I just flip quickly through these areas to tell you what they specifically the zoning changes proposed are. On the west side of Pembina, that village center area, it's really right now the business district there with some, as I said, vacant and for sale land in the area 1A. The next slide. The intent of this area is to really try and create a village center for St. Norbert, to establish a real focal point for the community, to make sure the heritage is respected, and as we go further north toward the condos in that area 1A, to allow a little more intensity where it's not going to, and make sure it doesn't impact any adjacent neighbors. There was a real desire from the community to keep the intensity very low in St. Norbert to maintain that country village feeling, and so throughout this zoning you'll see things trying to achieve that. There's also a desire to make sure this doesn't become the Pembina Strip. This is trying to achieve more of a as much as we can make a neighborhood main street out of Pembina Highway. This is trying to make a neighborhood main street for St. Norbert, with really, and so some consideration of how what it's like to walk along the street and bike. So the zoning changes that you'll actually see in the bylaw that you'll be considering are in this area, bilingual signage. You're actually going to see bilingual signage in all areas, all three areas. Also, no mobile signs. I think you'll see that through all three areas, and no advertising, third-party advertising signs. So those are three changes that you'll see throughout all three of these areas. You'll also see a more extensive landscaping requirement. It's approximately it's more than what the zoning bylaw currently allows, and this was throughout everyone that we did talk to in the community. Everyone wanted to really make sure it stays green and landscaped well out in this area. So you'll see more landscaping. One difference that you're seeing in the bylaw in front of you is for that area 1A, where there's still a significant front yard for the area 1A, we're talking about actually trying to make an initiative in the design guidelines to talk about native plant species. So that's native prairie plants. And that's something that came out, and there was a real desire to sort of connect with the country and the prairie roots in the community. So you'll see some of that. In this area, there is a feature in the zoning bylaw that requires 3 of 7 design features against Pembina Highway. Now, what I mean by that, whatever the wall of the building facing Pembina Highway is, would be to make sure that there is some design features facing Pembina Highway, so it's not just a blank wall. The other one is to make sure there is 30% of that front build wall of the building has transparency against the street. So again, no blank walls against the street to make it friendlier for pedestrians. Did I miss a slide? Okay. Oh, the zoning changes. Okay, sorry, key zoning changes in that area one. So this will be the one that has all the numbers in it. So in area one, the maximum height of buildings, 35 feet. That's the lowest sort of height in the zoning bylaw now. That would be the same as a single family dwelling, except this is saying in area one, that village center, that if you go above 25 feet, you need to set that next 10 feet back a bit. So it's step back. So it really maintains that closeness to the sidewalk. In area 1A, it's not zoned for this now, so it's subject to future zoning, but in area 1A it says you could go up as high as 60 feet, which could be potentially a 5-story apartment or something like that. The front yard in area 1 is talked about 10 feet, and if you want to put in a patio or some active space, you could go back as far as 20 feet. And again, you still have to have landscaping within that 10 or 20 or 10 feet, and if it's the 20 feet, you need an amenity, like a cafe or some kind of a patio or something going on there. And the other one is which is a little different in the commercial area. Typically, the commercial zoning is a zero side yard, which means the buildings can all be beside each other. Well, out in St. Norbert, they really want space. They want to keep the space out there, so it's a feel more country feeling. So this is imposing a little bit of a 4-foot side yard for commercial, whereas typically it would be zero. And the changes to parking loading is trying to, this will be encouraging parking to not be in that front yard so that the front yard is more community space than parking space. And people were fairly amenable to that idea. So now I'm in area 2. So this is the what we're calling the community cultural area. And honestly, there's not much change here. The zoning here is rural residential and parks recreation for the most part. This is where, as I said, the farmers market and the community center are, and the Behavioral Health Foundation. The intent of this area, what we want to achieve here, is to actually encourage and maintain all kinds of development that's cultural, that respects the institutions that are already there, and that really enhances the heritage of the community. And it's all about complementing the commercial that's on the other side of the street that we just talked about. And the rural country character is a big deal, and with the farmers market here, that it makes a lot of sense. The key zoning changes are really that just the bilingual signage and no mobile signs. That's really the only changes there. So yes, and area 3, which is this residential area, the zoning, a lot of this is actually zone C2 right now, commercial, which is a commercial zone, with some rural estate lots, some multiple family zoning, and some rural residential zoning. And the building heights out here are 1 to 6 stories, so you can see that this is getting up into the 6-story range, which that 1A was trying to keep a bit lower scale than what is in this area. And the intent of this area is really just to maintain that residential character, and if there is anything that could happen to really create a greater sense of place by making sure that the building and site design respects a little more character, a little more St. Norbert feel to it. And area, the key zoning changes, again, no parking in front, bilingual signage, no mobile signs, no advertising signs, and extra landscaping. So same as what we've talked about before. And the last slide I want to talk about is just give you a heads up on what also came out of this is the community was very passionate about the look and feel of their community as it relates to the design of their community. So we took a very first and very basic step to try and tackle some design guidelines for St. Norbert. I think there's more work to do on this in the future, but it's a supplement to the plan development overlay. It is something that will be there would be a design review process in place for St. Norbert. So for the large new developments, design review would actually come to Real Community Committee. For the smaller, more maintenance projects, that would go to the Director of Planning, Property and Development. And these urban design guidelines would set the tone for what a proponent could expect. It's really just trying to raise the bar and encourage a higher quality of development in the area. And certainly the idea is not, for this part, is not that it be a regulation as much as it be a guideline, and that alternatives would absolutely be considered. And by the way, this does not apply to single houses, single family dwellings, or two family dwellings. This is just for the bigger developments. And the ones of, I'll make of note in the left hand side of the slide, you're seeing it's what it is a view corridor of the beautiful architectural features at the top of the Behavioral Health Foundation building. And what has been done is an angular plane has been established from the view corridor along Pembina Highway to make sure that when you are visiting or going through the neighborhood that you can always, you know, enjoy the view of that heritage element. And what it does, it essentially controls the height of buildings or signage to make sure it doesn't block that inadvertently. The other view corridor is on the east side of Pembina Highway along the Red River, and it's really restricting the height of buildings there so that when people live on the west side or again are visiting the community, that that piece of the Red River is always visible, and that it's an important part of the community to the sort of the natural environment heritage that we really heard a lot about. The other piece that you'll see attached to your package in the design guidelines is an attempt to describe some of those elements of Franco-Manitoban architecture that we heard so much about. Again, this is a first take at it, and what it is suggesting is that you have to, anyone who develops has to have, I forgot how many of, three of the seven elements. Three of the seven heritage elements, or these architectural elements, should be on any new building. It's trying to create more of a French Franco-Manitoban architecture in the area for future new buildings. And the only other piece I'll mention in the design guidelines was that native prairie plant species in that new redeveloping area 1A.
Issues and responses came up during our consultation exercise with the community, and also flowing from the St. Norbert background study we wanted to talk to you a little bit about. These issues complement the implementation of the plan development overlay, but they're really outside the scope of a PDO. So the consultant had made some recommendations, and we wanted to follow up on those. None of them really came that strongly forward that we would make recommendations about them. So I wanted to present those to you and then show you what our response was to them. The first one was the consultant talked about a planning framework, recommending that a neighborhood planning framework is required to integrate the various initiatives and issues, that including land use, the right of way, and public and private lands. And our response to that was that we certainly support integrated planning in the community, and that the R Winnipeg process and project is going to provide further direction on that and more description of how local area planning could occur in the city, and also that the background study talked about a secondary plan not being warranted for the area. So while we support this, there's, as I say, no further action that we were requesting be taken at this time. Secondly, on active transportation, the consultant was recommending that sidewalks should be converted to multi-use pathway. The concern came about from the community during the consultation about the character of St. Norbert being the business center and wanting a different character than what is occurring north of the perimeter highway. And the administrative response to that was, yes, we appreciate that. There's discussion about the province proceeding with a bypass of Highway 75, and we're thinking that maybe the issue could be revisited at that time if there might be surplus right-of-way, for example, within the St. Norbert section of Pembina Highway. And also to let you know that Pembina Highway is designated as a future active transportation corridor in our Winnipeg Sustainable Transportation Direction Strategy, so it can be addressed there as well. Thirdly, design guidelines. The consultant was recommending that design guidelines should be adopted to preserve the heritage value of the built environment and retain that country living in the city character of St. Norbert. And as you can see by the package, we've taken a first baby step toward achieving that goal. And the guidelines are not a static document. We created them as an initial situation, but they can be enhanced over time. And as development character becomes more clear and we get a better understanding of Franco-Manitoban architectural elements, then they can certainly be made more robust than what you see today. And fourthly is the parking management plan and the parking around the farmers market. The consultant was talking about a parking strategy being required to address pedestrian safety and residential parking conflicts. And we certainly agree with that as well. And that was another issue that flowed out of the background study. And we think that community groups and the farmers market co-op organization should work with the Winnipeg Parking Authority to determine if a parking management strategy is feasible. And we've spoken with the Winnipeg Parking Authority, and they're supportive of that. And they suggest that it should probably be done as early as possible so that a baseline can be established as to existing conditions in the area, and then use that as a measurement tool once a strategy gets underway and is implemented. So to wrap up, our final recommendations are that the plan development overlay bylaw be adopted and move forward to council, that the guidelines document also be approved by your committee and the Standing Policy Committee on Property and Development and moved forward, and thirdly is just our boilerplate statement about doing everything necessary to make that happen. And as you know, the next steps would be that your committee can either approve, amend, or deny, and then moves on to Standing Policy Committee, Executive Policy Committee, and Council, where the same thing can happen, approved, denied, or amended. And then Council would have to give three readings to the bylaw to make it form part of the zoning bylaw.
Okay, merci, Valdine and Jackie. Do we have any questions from any of the councillors here? Okay, Councillor Steeves, first question.
In the village area center, the village center area, areas 1 and 1A, I'm interested in the process. First of all, I'm not sure I completely understand. I guess this overlay, how does it affect, again, existing zonings on existing properties? What's the relationship between what we've done here and somebody's existing zoning rights and obligations on the property?
The PDO forms like an extra layer of zoning. So it's like an overlay on top of the existing zoning.
Right.
And it modifies the existing development standards that apply to each property. So, for example, landscaping, building height, setbacks, parking, signage.
So, yeah, on a going forward basis.
On a going forward basis. So obviously there'd be no retroactivity. So essentially what it is if a person wants to alter or change the property, they'd be obliged to the new regulations. Is that about right?
Right. They'd be subject to the existing zoning bylaw and then these special standards in St. Norbert.
Right. Next question.
Did the issues of surface parking in the village area, sort of frontage parking as opposed to having the buildings located right up front on the property, did those types of things come up in the discussion?
Can I talk here? Sure.
There was quite a lot of talk about parking. There's certainly a feeling in the community that there's opportunity for parking. There's a lot of land in behind some of those businesses as well. But at the end of the day, they were even comfortable with parking on the side, but they really wanted those fronts of the building to be, in front of the building, that front yard space to be either landscape green or something to do with the community, whether it's benches or a path or cafe, that kind of thing. So there was a lot of talk about it, and the majority of people were keen to take the parking out of the front yard, and they probably preferred the side yard, and many preferred the rear yard only. And so that's why you start to see side yard, rear yard, and underground kind of parking being the preference, and that the front yard be landscaped or active community space.
Thank you, Jackie.
Okay.
Councilor Steves, last question.
Just finally, did people talk about the types of uses in the village center area and what type of things they would like to see?
Not really, and we didn't try to preclude talking about land use, but we did have a somewhat of a desire to try and move past just being a land use bylaw, and actually talking about the use was less important than the form that the use takes. So it's a more kind of progressive way to talk about zoning rather than segregating and restricting a whole lot of uses. This was saying if it takes the right form and it's built in the right way, it can contribute to the community. So there wasn't actually a lot of discussion about particular uses that anyone was concerned about.
I thought they might want to see certain sort of more pedestrian-friendly type of uses. The last question I'll ask is on the signage. I was interested to see that. The mobile signs and the advertising signs, that came from people who live in the community who wanted that type of use restricted. Is that correct?
Yeah, correct. That was the tool they used is all of these different ideas were presented in booklets, actually workbooks that the folks worked through. They each worked through individually and then as groups to sort of provide their own local recommendations about that. And that mobile signs is just one that was always consistently not desired. So we put
good,
it in.
Good for them. Councillor Swandell?
Just go a little bit further on the topic that Gord was going after there. I think it's important to realize that there's sort of the community's desire, but there's also private land ownership at work here. So both were engaged, the community as a whole and the private landowners as well.
Yeah, absolutely. The property owners have been directly invited to everything, as well as the community groups, and certainly for the big workshop, it was a blanket drop to everyone in the 5,000, 8,000. So there was. We tried to really find the balance, so we heard from everyone. And I should mention, Councillor Steves, if I could, I should mention that there were some uses that people, you know, the uses that came up that there were concern about,
yep.
And I would even say then it was fairly mild, but what happens is in the zoning that's already here, those uses are already either not prohibited, not permitted now, or they're conditional use already. So the ones that are the most, the worrisome to some people in the community, the bylaw already takes care of those, so that's why you're not seeing them in here. To be, they're not just not redundant. So all of the current C1 or C2, like C2, I guess, zoning still applies. So they're really worried. The uses that people are concerned about, and I want to go start naming them. They're still according to the existing bylaw,
okay,
and they're subject to public
hearing. Councilor Swandell, I have a supplementary question.
No, I'm good.
I have one. Area 3 by the river, is there actually any land that is left or suitable for residential development?
Area
3 by the Red River there?
That's got existing residential there then.
That's existing residential. But is there any land left for new residential there?
There are small parcels that you could imagine being subject to redevelopment proposals, because there's some beautiful homes and some older homes that you could imagine some people but might be interested in redevelopment.
There's the new condo block that's there, and mm-hmm. there's probably a handful of single-family homes?
Yes. And there's a little bit of vacant up in the north part.
There's also, Councillor, there's big riverbank issues. The further north you go there, some of those properties are greatly affected by riverbank stabilization.
Oh, I bet. Okay, no more questions, so we'll go to the... Thank you very much. We're going to hear from the rest of the people that are here for this meeting. So far, everybody is here in support. We have about 8 to 10 delegations.
One person indicating they're not here in support.
One is here in opposition or for information?
We're in order.
Okay.
So Norm Busson in favor, and then in opposition. And then the rest of the information.
Okay, I got you.
There are two in opposition, sir.
I'm sorry.
That's the order they go in.
Nope. Okay, now first we'll hear from those in support of Favara, Norm Gusso. I should say that if you're in support, you're welcome to come down and present, but you can also just register your support by raising your hand. So, Mr. Gusso. Aussi, si vous avez des commentaires en français ce soir, vous pouvez parler en français. On a des patentes où on peut faire la traduction. Bienvenue, Norm.
Merci. Je vais juste prendre deux secondes de votre temps. C'est Normand Rousseau, directeur général d'Entreprise Riel. The only comment that I wanted to make is I didn't note that when I was reading the PDO, but it's in reference to the design guideline process that's in place. I was wondering if there's an opportunity to, at a later date, set up a design review committee as opposed to having to come back to the Riel Community Committee for design review. This is done in St. Boniface on Provincial Boulevard, and it seems to work well. And currently, we don't have a biz in St. Norbert, but there's a process in place, and there's a good chance that the biz will be created in the months to come. So there may be an opportunity to revisit that, or is it something that needs to be put into the process today?
Sure. Do you want to handle that,
well,
Councillor Swindell?
We'll let Jackie and Valdine speak to when they come back, but I don't think there's any problem with setting up such a committee. But we need to have something in place, some sort of structure in place, so I don't think we need to address it today. It's certainly, you know, this is something, the beauty of a PDO is it's something that really has the local community's ownership in it, and it's really about what the local community wants. So any of those things that help to keep it moving, I mean, it is a living document to a certain extent, so anything that can help make sure that it's doing what the intent of the PDO is, would certainly be considered. And if that's what it takes when we have the structure there, then certainly would probably look favorably at doing that.
Okay. Just to make sure that the community is still, you know, carries on in being involved in the process as this progresses.
Maybe just, Dan, on just to remind people, when they do come down and present, if they're in opposition or even for information, the applicant will come back and rebut at the end. So if you want to ask specific questions, you know, we may not have the answer, and because the city's the applicant, we don't have the our administration here this evening to assist. So if you have specific questions, just lay them out there. One of us will make a note of them and make sure that the applicant answers those questions in rebuttal.
Okay. Thank you, Norm. In opposition, Kathy Edgar.
All those people in opposition?
No, just two in opposition. The rest are for information.
Welcome, Kathy.
Thank you. The reason I actually put down that I was in opposition was because I had no information whatsoever, and in the development that we live in on Grandmont Boulevard, this piece of paper mailed on the 28th of May was the first indication there was anything going on within our community. there was definitely a lot more information provided to us at for the presentation when we got started. I don't understand why, if it was Dillon Consultants, why they did not properly paper the neighborhood, why we did not get a letter in the mail saying that something was happening. Avid newspaper reader, never saw one very blurred map in the Winnipeg Free Press of this, and I really think there could have been more effort to ensure that all of the community was involved. There is a very large condo, whether it's south of the border. We purchased a condo 2 years ago on Grandmont, and we did ask the city at that time, and we were told that we face Grandmont. So we obviously understand there are traffic issues, and we know that we also understand there's a rail line. We face the very large green field that's right behind the co-op that was just recently built, and it was indicated to us that there'd be no intention of anything more than a single or maybe two-story building going there. The concerns that we have, besides the, I feel, the very improper notice to condos, because, you know, we, our community and also even the condo board would have likely have been really quite excited to be part of the process and have some discussions about this. The other concerns, I'm happy to see, though, that we're talking about leaving the green space on the riverbank. It was not really clear in the letter that the green space in the cultural center was going to be left, which I think is a very good idea. There's no room to put anything there, so walking past, et cetera, would be a good plan. And it's also very good to see that there is a plan for St. Norbert, because it is starting to get a little tired and worn, and it would be good to clean up the strip for, you know, visitors coming in and just generally for the community and make it a vibrant community. I'm very concerned about the situation with 1A. I'm very concerned about this possibly five-story building. 1A, of course, affects me. It affects houses behind the railroad tracks. So what are we talking about here? Where, if we're going to be building a five-story apartment block or whatever, because I'm sure that seems to be an indication, because we keep talking about the 60 feet in 1A, but only 35 feet in 1. You know, how far back are they going to be? I'd like to not see any access from Grandmont Boulevard. Grandmont's quite a busy street. There's railroad tracks right there. There's a fair amount of congestion as it is with a co-op. Now, would this be something that would be accessed from Pembina? And how far back would it be? I mean, is it going to be 10 feet off Pembina so that they're staring in the backyards of, there's 12 condo units that face there, and there's also housing all along the track. So, I'm happy that we did get more information, but I just think the process was a bit flawed, because I don't think the community was, I'm not sure whom all was in attendance, but definitely nobody from 45 Grandmont, and there's 32 homeowners there. So, I mean, that part really concerns me. So, thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Kathy. Kathy, can you just
come back for a sec?
Sure.
I'm not sure when you moved in there, but I know there was the very early stages of this was a background study sort of looking at all of St. Norbert, and then it went out, information was taken out of that, and I'm sure that folks will come back and they'll speak to it. Just on the site across from you on Grandmont, I think the reference to one or two story was the development of the co-op, which would make sense. That entire site is zoned C3.
Okay.
I don't think you're going to see anything go in there under C3 zoning. If there was, hopefully the applicant will clarify, if there was to be anything like a housing deal to go in there, there would have to be a public hearing process.
Okay.
And I'll let them speak to that when they come back down, so you get further clarification. And, you know, my apologies if you didn't get the proper information, but I can tell you that there was, you know, significant engagement with the community. I don't know if it was the timing of when you purchased property there.
No, we've been there. We bought and moved in August of 2008. And so, it was just a matter of, I mean, I sort of feel maybe it's something that if we're doing things like this, and I know, I'm not sure how they notify people or if there's email, but even if there could be a drop box in our mailbox just so that we would have this, because there was no information whatsoever, because I would have gladly attended. And especially, that's one thing, it'd be happenstance, I guess, to miss one of the mailing outs or notices in January or February, but I mean, to miss the other one in March, it really kind of astounds me that our whole little area didn't seem to be notified of it at all. So I'm not sure if it's because I really don't have an answer for it, because we were part of St. Norbert, so, and there's the condos. So
we'll ask that question when they come back. I just, you know, you're when you talk about views. I think the one in the river you already spoke to, that's fine. Mm-hmm. And the specific question is on this, and on the lands across Grandmont Avenue is what you want to ensure that there's at the very least a public hearing process prior to anything five or six stories.
Yeah, because looking at this for 1A, that would be, to me, maybe it's not. Maybe it is going to be further back, but I think it's just to ensure that we don't have some high, you know, a larger building either looking at houses or looking on Grandmont or staying far enough back. I mean, I do understand the need for multi-residential housing in some areas, but it's just, you know, it's definitely where it's placed in that green space. I mean, I applaud the fact that there's going to be improvements and landscaping and all of those good things, because I think it's very important, you know, the beautification of our areas, and I really do support that. But I think we really need to be careful, like from my point of view as a homeowner there, you know, and to keep people in St. Norbert.
Yep. Thank you.
In opposition, Louise May. Louise?
Welcome, Louise.
Hi, thanks. I am in opposition because I don't feel that this plan has been taken in context. I don't believe that the Waverly and Keniston bypass should be ignored in this, nor do I think that the agricultural lands that surround St. Norbert should be not included within this study. In fact, when these were presented to the community at these meetings, the boundary that we were talking about was the perimeter highway on the north and Brady Road to the south and the south edge of the city. That is what was presented to us. I have a great concern because we are a farmer family. We have 160 acres of mixed farming on Waverly. We do not feel that we are currently protected under the changing plan. Plan Winnipeg at least has an opportunity to limit those agricultural lands to 40-acre lots, whereas our Winnipeg plan doesn't seem to have any protection whatsoever to the agricultural lands that are within the city limits. Very, very concerned about that. So what we were presented at these community meetings showed us a picture of the whole community. Now, you take the Pembina Strip alone, it doesn't make any sense. If we reroute all of that traffic through another bridge, building another bridge, taking out a big chunk of ecosystem, moving all that traffic around through the agricultural land that is then going to become what? Residential, industrial, or I should say, where does that leave this plan? I feel that it's a whitewash plan. I feel that the Our Winnipeg plan is a very, very weak document. We're losing Plan Winnipeg. What are we going to be left with to protect ourselves? That is my big objection. On a somewhat lighter note, I do have something specific to this current plan, so the main strip plan. And this, I did send a registered letter to Councillor Swandell in January about this to remind him that the lands that connect the Trappist Monastery Park and the St. Norbert Arts Centre to the St. Norbert Forest, I don't know if you councillors remember this, but in 92, that land was slated to become a golf course, and through the community opposition, the city was able to purchase that forest land. It does butt up, I don't have the slide here, but if you can imagine that south end of that main strip, that forest does butt right up to that. It's a very unique forest. We have a historical path through because, of course, the Trappist Fathers were connected to the town of St. Norbert through this path, and they always had a pedestrian bridge there. When the city purchased that land to protect the forest, there was a deal made with Genstar whereby several lots, 8 city lots, were so-called donated to the city that they could then sell off. And it was said at that time that the proceeds of those lots were to go towards community development, in particular towards that area. So apparently, and I know Councillor Swandell is aware of this through even when he was back as Councillor Angus's assistant, was aware that those monies were set aside for a pedestrian bridge, which we all agreed to. So it's now 16 years later. I sent a registered letter to Councillor Swindell reminding him of this, and yet it still didn't make it onto the plan. So I would like to ask Councillor Swindell, for the record, to please state what is the where is this money at, and when can we see it hit a plan?
Louise,
that's the lighter note.
The deal is we ask the questions here. Secondly, just in response to that, yeah, the monies are set aside. We've been through the process. We realize that the pedestrian bridge is not financially feasible, and at some time the community will come forward and say what they want to see happen with that money.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Louise. Is there... is your presentation over?
Yep.
Are there any questions for Louise? Hearing none, okay, thank you. Okay, now we have for information. The for information pile, you can come down and make a presentation, or you can simply indicate whether you're for information or if your position has changed. Number one, Elaine Boisjoli. Welcome.
Hello. First of all, I want to tell you that I've been a resident of St. Norbert for about 30 years, and I graduated from high school there, so I'm well aware of the town of St. Norbert. But I have to tell you that I have to agree with lady that spoke before, that I really didn't know a lot about these informational sessions that were going on, except for the letter that I got from May the 28th, that I looked over it. And I do have a couple of questions, like on the map, and I don't know if a lot of people have this, but 1A, like there's the town, the village of St. Norbert, which is 1, according to this overlap map, and then 1A is involved on the adjacent side to that, from Ducharme onto South Perimeter Highway. Pardon?
Just to Grandmont, I think.
Grandmont, yeah, okay. From Ducharme to Grandmont. Now, in that area, there are two older single-dwelling family homes, and mine is one of them. And so with that, and I'm looking at the land north of ours, and that's where all the vacant land is. And in this proposal, they're saying that they're allowing for, I think, up to 60 feet of height for new buildings, which I'm thinking now these might be condos or apartment buildings. And on that note, I'm wondering about if St. Norbert wanted to have that feel of a village of the French community. I don't know if adding more apartments to that area is going to give it that feel that according to the residents of St. Norbert want. My other question is, with the new overlap map, there's two sections there that are marked for 2, like the larger community cultural center, and then there's a residential center in the middle, and then another map, and then another community center on the other side. And that's where right now there's several existing single family homes that have been there for a long time. Now, my question is, are they planning to get rid of those homes and it's going to be another community cultural type of thing happening there? or I don't know. Like, I've got questions about that because I'm not sure what's going to happen to these single-dwelling homes if it's going to be deemed a cultural center.
Just so I'm clear, in what specific area are you referencing?
I can clear this up.
On the map? I don't know if you have the map.
Yeah, I've got the map. The area that's two, part of the community culture is the green spaces as well. And so that's that area that's open to the river where there's no buildings at all.
Okay.
So between there and the community center, there are the houses and the condo. That's area three where that existing residential is.
That's area three?
Yeah, if you see on the map,
okay.
There's area three.
All right, then
so
that's what
between.
I wasn't sure about. Okay.
So, and that 1A area, they treat it quite differently because it's different than the one area because they want to, there's different setbacks in there. They still maintain the 40-foot setback on the west side because it's that view that's open out to the river and it's that more open area that's there. So that's the confusion there, I think. It doesn't come out clear on the map that that's that little space of green, that area of green space that's across from the Mac store and that.
Right. Yeah, okay.
So that's the area there. The other piece, and we'll ask them to clarify this when they come up, because I think the lands adjacent are just behind your home.
Right.
There's two or three lots there that haven't been rezoned yet. They're zoned as agricultural land still.
Yes.
So what you would see is there would have to be a public hearing process for anything that would go in there. So it's still, you know, people can come out and argue. If somebody came forward and made a proposal for a five-story building, you would still have that public engagement and mm-hmm. still talk about, you know, the PDO, how that mm-hmm. would impact on it and what the setbacks would be. And that, so that process isn't taken away yet.
Okay.
And we'll get them to clarify that when they come back down as well.
Okay, so I've got a question that, because it's regarding my home, we're thinking of renovating or selling. And so when this came up, well, we were kind of in a quandary. Well, what should we do with this? Am I going to be approached by a land developer to see about purchase of our land if this 1A it might be zoned differently? That's my other question.
This isn't zoning. This is
or overlap or whatever.
You know, what you can do is maybe just after we're done is to go and talk with Valdine or Jackie, the two ladies that are up presenting, and just get a sense from them what it means specifically for your property. It's just difficult for us to speak specific to your property.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, what, and I think they will verify this when they come back down, is that the zoning that's in place is staying in place right now. So any change to the zoning, we have to go through a whole rezoning public hearing, which is
because I guess that's what I was looking at when I was reading this paper. The general overview is like a different, like aesthetically changing what St. Norbert looked like.
Well, it's trying to be ahead
to
of
keep that.
It's trying. The intent here is trying to be ahead of the development that we've seen coming.
And
we haven't had good controls in place up to now.
That's right.
That's what we're trying to put those controls in place.
Okay.
And when they'll come down, they'll speak to your specific comments.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Thank you, Elaine. Next on the list is Garwood and Judy Robb. Garwood and Judy Robb. I don't see them. Okay, thank you. No, they don't have to speak. But next on the list is Tom McNaughton. Tom McNaughton, just registered. Thank you. For information. Next for information, Joan Irvin. Irving? Irvine? Just for information, thank you. For information, Paulette Bissette. For information, is there anybody else here for this meeting that hasn't filled out a one of these pink? Nobody else? Okay, would the applicants please come back? You got your questions in there? You got all these questions in there? Good, because I don't. Okay, Valdine and Jackie.
So just
From the notes that I made here, there's a couple of things. I'm sure you guys have written a lot of other stuff down. There was stuff about the 1A and the height of the building, whether or not the lands would have to be rezoned. And it's not a separate lot, but behind the co-op, the new co-op gas bar, it's zone C3. That's on Grandmont. It's unclear in this when we're talking setbacks, but I think if there, somebody was to come forward, they would have to make an application to at least subdivide that land. So if you guys can speak to that and what the setback on Grandmont would be. If we're talking the same setbacks on Pembina Highway and Grandmont, because it would probably have access off of Grandmont in spite of the fact that I know that the person that spoke to it said they didn't want access off of Grandmont, but what the setback requirement there would be. That was one. The other ones were you had the very last one there, just around the rezoning, what the rezoning means versus the PDO and what the public processes are there. And then just maybe some conversation about how people were informed at the very beginning, getting into the background study and how that spoke to the other lands, the South Waverly lands, and how you drilled down to doing a PDO on this piece. You spoke to it a bit at the beginning, but I think you just need to go over it again.
So yes, the zoning on the Grandmont property in Area 1A at the north, very north end of 1A is C3. Everything south of that between Ducharme and Grandmont towards the south end is zoned rural residential 5, which would be the minimum 5-acre land. So anything in the RR5 zone would require a rezoning process, probably to multiple family or mixed-use zoning district, depending on what's proposed there, and a public hearing associated with that. In the C3 zone, abutting Grandmont and Pembina, the existing C3 setbacks would apply, which would be a 25-foot front yard, and then on the Pembina side would be the setback required in Area 1A, which is 40 feet.
Can you clarify? Because the land is one parcel right now, that particular piece, and it's addressed on Pembina Highway, what are the rights for going on to Grandmont, the existing rights right now?
They would have to apply for a private approach through the Public Works Department.
But they could only, they couldn't, I don't see much likelihood of somebody putting up a 5-story office building there. So if it was to become residential use, is that permitted under C3?
No, it's not. It would require a rezoning to a residential multiple family district or a mixed use district.
So they would have to go through a public hearing process and get council approval in order to do that.
And probably a subdivision too, if it's one large lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's no way that anybody can just go in there and slap up a 5-story building without engaging the community in order to do it?
No.
Okay.
And then the next question was...
Well, sure, I'll speak to some of the process pieces. Well, there's probably more zoning, but maybe just to sum up that zoning question, because I think it was a real issue when we were talking to the community, and this the underlying zoning really doesn't change. This doesn't change anything. It's trying to give some additional sort of development standards for if they do come to rezone to give make sure that there is additional standards, actually. So all of everyone's current zoning still stands, and this is extra on top of it. When it comes to the process, that first visioning process was involving some of the stakeholders and the group Action Saint-Norbert who were participating in the background study, and so the visioning took off out of them, and it was kind of a broad email with some contact along the folks on Pembina, right on Pembina Highway. It was the second one that had the 1500, a mail drop of 1500, which was to cover every property in that part of the neighborhood, and if 45 Grandmont was missed, it is absolutely an utter apology.
That was the
certainly
mayor.
It was on the list, and there should have been notices dropped at that condo. So
that's the May meeting, right?
That was the main one at the big workshop, and there's about 50 people out to that one at the St. Norbert Hotel, where we really workshop through the options. And that's the one where if the folks in a condo were missed.
I think the lady said that they received it for the May meeting. They just weren't involved in the background study, is where.
Right.
And I think if I recollect correctly, you did neighborhood bulletins. Around.
Yeah. No. These were personal mail drops to all properties in the area, and so that's why now that I'm hearing this, I'm wondering if there wasn't some left at the front or something at the condo building, whereas because they wouldn't have had the personal mail drop as easily. The other thing with that's the one where the notices were mailed and posters were put up at all the businesses in St. Norbert. So there were full posters at all the businesses there for that event, and I don't know what to do but apologize that clearly we could have been that much more thorough, and we don't like to ever miss anyone. The other that came up about when we first talked about the agriculture, you know, we had the sort of whole St. Norbert picture up there when we were first out there, talking about the whole community, which was because a lot of issues came out of the background study related to the whole community. This particular issue of the plan development overlay is strictly for the neighborhood Main Street. It was strictly affecting just those properties along Pembina Highway. And so that is why the boundary for this plan development overlay only impacted those areas, and in fact it was definitely heard loud and clearly that this was an agricultural there's certainly a country piece to this, and that was continued to be respected in the plans that exist in Winnipeg, and it just did. Well, there was no opportunity in a neighborhood Main Street plan development overlay zoning to address the further issues to do with the connectivity and some of the elements further southwest and into the farm community. But you also want to speak to our Winnipeg on farm community and minimum lot size?
Our Winnipeg Complete Communities direction paper speaks to rural agricultural lands and still requires a 40-acre minimum, same as what Plan Winnipeg currently requires.
I think the confusion there was only reading the Our Winnipeg document, not the Complete Community strategy that accompanies it. But, yeah, I'm confident that it's in
Our Winnipeg. Yeah, public hearing. It's good information. Thank you.
Is there any other questions that we've not...
I think the only other thing I would ask is, and if you get a chance to speak with the lady who lives on Ducharme to talk about that, I didn't want to get into a conversation, and I don't think it's appropriate to do it here, about land developers and approaching. But the zoning, just to confirm, stays the same. And
yes, and I would be thrilled to, because I was actually spent a lot of time there. I know there's two houses there, and I spent a lot of time with the neighbor. Her and I spent some time together, so we definitely went through all these issues, and I'd be happy to.
Okay. Any other questions? Councillor Steeves? None? I don't have any. Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, getting back to the agenda. Where are we here?
I guess you need some kind of motion.
Let me just find my...
This is odd because we don't have any administration to talk to before we make a motion.
Nobody to talk to, nobody to blame. I'm joking.
We always have someone to blame.
We can blame each other.
Mark
is here, yes.
Let's. I'm ready to go here, Dan. Okay. If you're ready,
I'm ready.
Let me just start by complimenting the folks. I think this, been through a lot of stuff with our folks, and although there was one or two people that felt like this, they didn't get proper information. I think starting right from the background study, there was a great deal of engagement there, and a lot of it I know was done through the stakeholders groups, the community groups. They drew them into it at the beginning because it's such a diverse area when you're dealing with the whole community, from the agricultural right down to the business district to the multifamily areas to the single family, which has got townhouses and single family homes that are in an older neighborhood and some in newer neighborhoods. So I think getting the background work done the way they did was probably the right thing to do. And I can tell you the detail. I had some summer students that worked on a lot of detail with them, and it really drilled them down to having to do something with the place that needed to be be dealt with was the Pembina Highway Strip. And I think once they were there, they did do a good job of getting out and involving all the people. And that was what came forward at that May meeting. I know it was well turned out. There was two sessions that day. I went to the earlier one, and it was sort of standing room only. And it was, as I was leaving, the late one was coming in. It was also filling up. So I'm confident that there was a significant amount of consultation and engagement of the people in the neighborhood. And I think through the people that had some concern about it tonight, some of their concerns were alleviated when they heard what was actually going on here. And certainly the door is open to further discussion with our planners and certainly with my office. So that being said, I'll move that the report of the Winnipeg Public Service be taken as read.
All in favor, contrary, carried.
That the receipt of public representations be concluded.
In favor, contrary, carried.